to reflect Christ and to exalt Christ in our home, in our workplace, and in the world. And even if you are not a father this morning, you have that opportunity as well to be, in many respects, a spiritual father to others, to reflect Christ to others. And I want you to see that as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look with me again in verse 23, and you're going to read things that sound very similar to what we read already in our scripture reading in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." This is the contrast between Paul and the false teachers who he had spoken of earlier, the ministers of Satan, actually, who had tried to influence the church in Corinth. "In laborers, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now notice verse 28. "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands." Now this morning we're looking at a man who is, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 4, a spiritual father. A man who has given himself to proclaim Christ to these folks in Corinth, and not just in Corinth, but in every place that he has gone, he has had a care for the churches. That phrase in verse 28 is a very important one to note. Who is beside that which is from without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches? The places that Paul has gone and delivered the gospel to people, and he has suffered physically in doing so. Those things that he's gone through, the shipwrecks and the beatings and the stonings and near unto death often, were all for a reason. It was for people he cared for. And we saw last time that we have the opportunity to exalt Christ, to lift up Christ when we go through physical sufferings. And fathers, can I just tell you that being a dad who is spiritual will require many times physical sacrifice, doesn't it? There's not a dad among us, I don't think, that if our child is hungry, we will let them eat instead of us, right? Oh boy. Yes. We would sacrifice a blanket for them if we were cold and they needed the blanket, wouldn't we? Now, we've lived in so much affluence in America that these kinds of scenarios almost don't even come to our mind as a reality. But in a very real way, Paul has gone through physical lack for the benefit of these Christians, for these people, so that he could minister to them. He has physically done without. But this morning, I want to challenge you as well to recognize that we have the opportunity to exalt Christ, not just when we suffer through physical things, but when we go through mental anguish or the suffering of things that are not physically seen, but felt and cares and weights upon us that no one can see looking at the outside. Now, you might see the effects of the stonings and the lack of food in the Apostle Paul when you looked at him. You would see there's a man who physically has been afflicted. But can you always see the things that are going on the inside of someone's heart and mind? The cares that they have for their children or for those that they care to see spiritually growing up in the Lord. Can you see all that on their exterior? No, you can't. And what I want you to observe this morning is that you and I have the opportunity to exalt Christ when we do carry a burden or care of others in our hearts. When we don't just live for that to be sloughed off of us, but when we actually do care about what's going on in the lives of other individuals. And Paul, again, is contrasting himself with the false teachers. The false teachers did not truly care for the people of Corinth. They cared for themselves. They were selfish. They were absorbed with themselves. And they were hurting people in Corinth, the Christians in Corinth, not lifting them up and edifying them. And what Paul does in these passages is pull back, as it were, the reality of his life and of a real apostle of Christ, a real servant of Christ, and shows it's marked by physical anguish and physical pain, but it's also marked by mental anguish. Now, are cares something that you know? Anxieties and cares. Now, when you say anxieties, pastors, we're not supposed to have anxieties and cares, are we? No. Do you know that that's not what the Bible teaches? The Bible doesn't say you can't have anxieties and cares. The Bible tells you what to do with those anxieties and cares. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, doesn't mean you don't have anxieties. Sometimes we think, I'm a sinner because I'm anxious about things. No, you're a sinner if you remain in that anxious state instead of giving that to the Lord. But having cares is going to take place if you care for people. Can I say that again? Being a father is going to bring about cares. How many of you remember having small children and being around things that you're concerned for their safety, right? One of the most exciting moments of this was a couple of years back. We took the kids to downtown Chicago on a elevated train. You know those trains where there's electric things that are powering them and, you know, there's gaps and things and people are going everywhere. Okay, and those of you that know me know I am a, like, watch for every kind of problem that can possibly happen person. Yes, my father-in-law attests to this. Amen. Well, those kinds of scenarios, guess what I'm doing? I'm carrying cares for those kids. Now, what do I need to do as a spiritual father, a spiritual individual? Any of us here this morning, whether you're a man or a woman, can be spiritually concerned for others, can have a care for young believers or even other believers who are going through difficulties and carry that burden. Does the Bible say anything about carrying the burdens of others? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I am supposed to have a care for you and you for others. That takes ownership. And by the way, we need dads who will take ownership in the home of responsibility, of care for others. But we need Christians who will do so as well. And this morning, I want you to notice that not only are we to exalt Christ and lift up Christ by the physical things that we go through, but by the mental, by the anguish in the soul that sometimes is felt. One commentator speaking of this passage said, Paul's greatest burden was not around him in the circumstances, as it were, but within him, the care of all the churches. Now, why did Paul care so much about these individuals? Verse 29 of our text tells you a little bit of this and opens up our view to it. Look at chapter 11, verse 29. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? And we'll look at this more in a moment. This speaks of Paul putting himself into their situations. He knows what they're going through and feels it himself. He's identifying with them in their difficulty. It's a sacrificing person to identify with the pain someone else is feeling. It's not easy to do. To see someone else going through anguish and feel that with them. The word sympathy is kind of thrown under the bus sometimes, I feel like, that it's, well, nobody wants my sympathy. No, people need you to be sympathetic, to be caring about what you're going through. Was Christ acquainted with our grief? Was Christ aware of our suffering? Yes, of course. And it's important for you and I to know the difficulties and the troubles that others are going through. And Paul cares for this on a spiritual level because he does not want them to fall prey to teaching that would pull them away from the gospel of Christ and thereby them not proclaim the gospel to someone else. He cares greatly for them. He cares what happens to his children, as it were, as we saw earlier. He is touched in his own heart, and he cannot abandon them. And I want to ask you this morning, dads, Christians, do you have that kind of care for someone else? That if you saw them tracking towards something that was not good or safe or right, would you do something? Would you care about it? Or would you just say, well, they've chosen their path? Would you care? Would you communicate that care? You know, it's a very difficult thing for us to sometimes communicate our care to those who have listened to someone incorrect. In fact, in verse 29, he says, "Who is offended and I burn not?" As he has identified with their troubles and the things that they are being taught, his care for them is not a, well, you know, it'd be nice if they got that. No, it's an intense, I want them to make the right choice. This is an intense desire on the part of Paul. And this morning I want to give you three things that I believe will help us to understand this. Is Paul has referred to them as fathers. I think it's an important lesson for us to see how we can be spiritual fathers to others as well. Paul had spoken of that regarding Timothy, his own son in the faith. He had spoken of that terminology of father to Onesimus, who he'd begotten in his bonds. What was the idea of speaking of a father? And I know the Catholic Church utilizes the term father in this way, that they exalt someone in some kind of position way that really is the not correct way to view an individual that's shepherding. But there is a sense in which a shepherd or a caring one can be seen as a father. The Catholic priest who would call himself father or be called father, by and large, in number one, shouldn't be called father, because a father cares about the eternal destination of a soul. And the gospel of Christ is that which Paul refers back to when he speaks of begetting them in the gospel of Christ. One who does not declare the gospel according to Christ, the gospel that is by faith without works, is not being a true father. Is not being a true spiritual father to someone. That's the actual worst thing you could do. It's to not tell them what they need to know in order to be saved. And there are many today who are going through the motions of spirituality, who are going through the motions of I care for people and I love you and being called father, who have no care for their spiritual and eternal destination according to what the Bible says. They are those false fathers. In fact, you could call them false apostles, false teachers. You could call them false fathers. Any teacher that declares something other than the gospel of Christ and grace alone, not works, not effort, but Christ alone, is a false father. And so I want you to notice this morning, number one, spiritual fathers are used by God. Spiritual fathers are used by God. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, just for a moment, turn back there and notice, Paul says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Now, Paul is not taking glory for saving them. Don't hear that and think, wow, Paul's really bold and really proud to be talking about the one who has saved them. No, I never saved someone. You will never save someone. But get this. God uses people to declare the gospel to people. God uses people to declare the gospel to people. The church in Corinth had a person come to them and declare Christ to them. Who was it? It was Paul. And Paul is referring to the fact that as an apostle, he has been used by God to come to the Gentiles, a people who thought by the Jews were not even included in God's plan, and God has graciously shown them love and care. Aren't you thankful for that? The gospel affects all, Jew, Gentile, bond, free, doesn't matter. The gospel has an effect upon all men. It does. And it's to be declared to all men. It's to be declared to all men by you and I. The gospel had been declared by Paul. And God desires more spiritual dads who will exalt Christ and declare the gospel. Paul wasn't proud and boasting of himself. He was reminding them in this passage that God had called him to them. God had called him to talk to them, to proclaim the gospel to them, and that they had heard and believed. Now, every one of us here have put our faith in Christ. You know, you need to recognize God uses us to impact others to the position of their being saved. If they are going to be saved, if someone's going to hear the gospel and believe on Christ, what do they need to have happen? According to Romans chapter 10, the Bible tells us they need to hear. Look back in Romans chapter 10 for a moment. You're in 1 Corinthians. Go back just a couple pages to Romans chapter 10. If they're going to be begotten in the gospel, if they're going to be born in the gospel, how does that take place? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 speaks of this. In Romans 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But then the next verse says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And you say, "That's right, Pastor. You're the preacher. You're the father that we need. This is great. You go do that. We're all for you." No, get the picture here. There's a need for people to declare the word and to recognize that they have had a part in seeing people saved. Yes, your pastor does. And yes, an evangelist does. But can a man or woman be one who declares the gospel and by whom someone else can say, "I was begotten in the gospel because they told me the truth. I heard of what Christ did, that he died on the cross for my sin, that I was a sinner separated from God in my sin, serving sin, heading to an eternity apart from God in a lake of fire. And I heard from the Word of God through a person that Jesus died on the cross to pay for sin's penalty. And that Jesus alone can pay the penalty of sin. And I turned from anything I could do to Jesus. And I put my trust in Jesus. And you know what? Jesus saved me from sin and gave me new life. Gave me peace with God. Gave me victory over sin. And I want you to know about it too." Hey, can any of us tell that to someone else who know Christ? Can any of us articulate that? Say, "I'm not real good with words." Yeah, I know. Can God still work through us to do that? Yeah, I'm not real clear. But can you tell someone else what Christ did in your life? Yeah, you can. And you can point them to others who are saying the same thing. And you can say, "Come on, come over here." I don't know how many times I've heard someone say, "Someone invited me to a revival meeting. Someone invited me to go to camp. Someone invited me, and they wanted me to hear the gospel." They were part of that process of getting people to hearing what Christ had done. Hey, they were caring about souls. And the spiritual father is used by God. In Romans 10, verse number 15, it says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now, dads, I don't know what your feet look like this morning, and I don't want to see them. Okay? It's not talking about beautiful pedicure, okay? No. Hallelujah, no. Men, stay away from the pedicure, okay? What is it talking about? It's saying that there is great beauty in and great rejoicing in those who receive for those who came and told. Now, for a moment, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, do you remember who God used to hear, to give you the gospel, to proclaim the gospel so that you could benefit by its working? Do you remember who those people were? Now, for a moment, were they outstanding and just super incredible, or were they just average people that God used because they were willing to be used? It may have been a Sunday school teacher. It may have been a pastor. It doesn't matter. God used a person. And Paul said of his being a person, everything about him that he could glory in, he counted like dung. So even if you've got the greatest preacher in the world that you got saved under, you know what? He ought to consider himself in any kind of personality or external thing. He ought to consider all that to be really worthless in comparison to the work of Christ that has made the changing work in his life. I'm convinced we think too much of how well someone can share the gospel and not enough about the power of the gospel itself. It really matters not how eloquent you are. It matters most of all that you declare what Christ has done, knowing that it changes lives. Now, yes, if you can be more clear, be more clear. But don't hesitate from sharing the gospel because you're just not that good at talking. No, friend. You declare what Christ has done because God uses people. Verse 17 of Romans 10 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hey, you just open up your Bible and start showing people what the word of God said about you. Romans 3:23 said, "I was a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You just told them what they need to know. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Just read what the Bible says. Use one of these gospel tracts out here on the rack that just goes through passages of Scripture and read what the Bible says to someone and that you believed what the Bible said. Does God use spiritual fathers? Yes, He does. What do you take to your children? We take to our children what they need, don't we, fathers? You know, our kid wakes up in the middle of the night and they're thirsty. How many dads has that ever happened to? Yeah, oh wow. Good job, dads. Moms, I know this is the Mother's Day message. Oops. No, the kid comes and says, "I'm thirsty, Dad." What do? You get up and get them what they need, right? Last night, one of our children, well, she's not in here, so I can say it, Juliana. She, you know, the bumpy bumps ride on the bus all day yesterday back from camp. She didn't really want to eat much, and she was wiped out when she got home. And she slept most of the afternoon. She didn't want to eat supper. She just wanted to sleep. And so she slept. Well, around 4 o'clock this morning, guess what she did? She came in her room. "Dad, I'm starving. What do? Go back to bed." No, that's not what I do. What do? I say, "Okay, come on." So we go downstairs and we find something and we warm it up and we eat it and she is filled with what she needs, right? That's what parents do. That's what dads do. They use opportunities, give what is needed. Now, there's something far more important than giving my child just physical food, isn't there? Can I challenge you, dads? Would you commit this morning to communicating the gospel to your children? Be a spiritual father that's used by God by simply communicating the gospel to your children. You say, "Yeah, I don't know if I can do that." No, you can. And I don't mean have a sermon every night before you go to bed, but just trickle into your conversations. And we did this with our kids before they'd go to bed. We would talk about what Jesus Christ had done for us in little bits of what Jesus Christ had done, that I was thankful that he died on the cross for my sin. I was thankful for what... And when you speak of what you're thankful for, do you know what they're hearing? What really matters? If you got to go to a basketball game or a football game that you were really excited about, would you talk about it with your kids? Of course you would. "I get to go to this game." Great. And what would you praise them with at bedtime that night? "Wasn't it great we got to go to this game today?" Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But is there something more memorable and life-changing than a basketball game or a football game or some event? Yeah. Yeah, the working of Christ on the cross. And I don't mean make that up to them. I mean make it a serious thing in your mind so that when you do talk with your children, it is what is most important to talk about. It is the thing that really does have the greatest value. You can give your kids a cup of water and they'll forget that, won't they? They will. You're not a parent yet? Of course they do. You can give them the most amazing toy for their birthday and they'll remember that for a while and forget that. You give them the gospel and live out the gospel and demonstrate its effect in your life and share it to others, they'll remember that. In fact, one of the greatest joys is watching on Saturday mornings as we go out and share the gospel in the community here, parents bringing their children. You say, we can do that? You don't just have a nursery and send them to the nursery? No, we go to doors and talk to people about Christ with our kids. That's weird. No, it's what we're about. Why would I think that that shouldn't be something my kids observe often? What do you think that says to them when that's what we go do? It's pretty important. You and I can be used as spiritual fathers. And you may not have children. Can you still be a spiritual father to someone else? The answer is most definitely. You can be used to declare the gospel to others. Here's a second thing that I want you to recognize. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this really is obvious in Paul. Spiritual fathers not only are used by God to declare the gospel, spiritual fathers sacrifice. Spiritual fathers sacrifice. They go without. Again, if your child is hungry, you're going to give up food so they can eat. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27, Paul had said, "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now, Dad, do you know the mental anguish that comes from sleepless nights? Some of you with little kids?
Yes.
Is it ever tiring to you when you don't get enough sleep? Come to camp with us sometime as a counselor, a church counselor, and you'll know. No, I'm just, you've sacrificed sleep before, and it can wear on you. But what if what you were staying awake for was not because of just getting up and getting a glass of water or something, but because of a need in someone's life, a spiritual need, a need, maybe they're being pulled towards something that's not true, and you are just in anguish that you can teach them the next day the thing that will help them understand from the Word of God how they can avoid that error or that trouble. And you're awake thinking of that. You're caring for that. That would have been the kind of mindset of Paul. You know, Paul would have prayed, I'm sure, much of the night. But he also did something that this passage says. It says in watchings often, and we saw it back in 1 Corinthians 4. Do you know what he did during the night? Oftentimes, I'm convinced. He labored with his own hands. Okay, when would he have had time to do that if he's teaching all day? I believe a lot of the night would have been spent working with his hands so that in the day he could be teaching others about Christ. Now, get this, church. Paul gave his time for the benefit of others, and there was sacrifice of his time. There was sacrifice of his focus. You don't ever read anywhere what the hobbies of Paul the Apostle were. Now, it's not wrong to have a hobby, but can I ask you something? Are the hobbies of your life sucking away so much time that you can't care for people? This life is really short. It's really, 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 really short. And my life and yours has to be thinking, using every bit of time, am I sacrificing for someone's benefit, for spiritual benefit? The mental anguish that came here was very tiring at times. It caused weariness in his body and in his mind, I am certain of it. But he also had weariness and long nights and sacrifice because he was teaching hungry people. In Acts chapter 20, you have the story of when Paul is preaching, and at midnight, do you remember what happens? A guy named Eutychus is in the third floor, and what happens? He falls out of a window where he's listening and dies. Don't fall asleep in church. No, that's nothing. Pastor, I would never be at midnight listening to you preach. Ah, that's his problem. He stayed to him. No. What happens? The guy dies. They raise him from the dead and go on preaching till morning. And then at morning, guess what Paul does? He says, guys, I've preached enough. It's time for me to take a 2-hour break. No. It's time for me to take a 2-day break. No. It's time for me to take a 2-month sabbatical. No. He gets up and he goes to the next town by foot. Now, here's what my point is. we think that having services on Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30 and 6 o'clock and Wednesday at 7 is really amazing. Churches don't have that much preaching anymore, Pastor. I mean, we must be doing really good. I don't think the church in Corinth had a website or a sign that said their service times and said, don't show up any other time. That's funny. We put our service times out because we want people to come, right? What if we had a sign that says, open all day, all night, come whenever? You're like, Pastor, you would die. It's true. It's true. But is our life open like that, or do we have hours? Don't bother me here. Don't bother me then. By the way, that kind of attitude to preach till midnight reflected something. Not just that Paul was willing to teach that much, but that people wanted to know stuff. And I have to tell you, I'm excited about what's taking place here at New Life Baptist Church, because we do have Sunday morning at 9:30, and we do have Sunday at 10:30, and we do have Sunday at 4 o'clock, and we do have 5 o'clock choir, and we do have 6 o'clock service, and we do have Wednesday 7 o'clock, but we also have people that are meeting at other times. We have Bible studies and discipleship that's going on through people here at New Life Baptist Church at Thursdays, on Mondays, and it's not just taking place here. It's over the phone. It's at McDonald's. It's in all kinds of places. And I commend you, church, for your involvement in that kind of ministry, because that's sacrificial. That doesn't come easy. I know that. I know that. But it has an incredible effect on spiritual children. It's needful. And I want you to know, if we're going to be spiritual fathers in our homes, there has to be sacrifices made. There have to be sacrifices made. A third thing, and I think this is important in the passage, and we'll be finished this morning. In verse 29, you not only see that the spiritual father is used by God, a spiritual father is sacrificing, but in verse 28 and 29, you see that there is a sympathy in the spiritual father for someone else. Look at verse 29. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? You know what? Paul felt what they were going through. We may speak of this more next week, but Paul had a sense of their needs and was interested in them. Back to the, are there good dads? Yes. What's the opposite of a good dad? I know this is hard to say. What's the opposite of a good dad? Yeah, isn't that hard to say? A bad dad. A selfish dad. A dad who is busy. A dad who is distracted. A dad who is consumed with what he wants to do and not what his children need. A dad who is harmful in his words. Hateful. Are there those kinds of dads? Are there dads who are filled with rage? Yeah. You know what those kinds of dads remind me of in 2 Corinthians 11? The ones who were the false teachers. In fact, in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 11, remember he says, you suffer if men bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, takes of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smites you on the face. See, that's a bad dad. Yeah, it would be. But spiritually speaking, selfishness and sympathy can't coexist. You can't have sympathy that's real for someone and be selfish at the same time. To really care about what they're going through. And you know what, Dad? Sometimes we've got to catch ourselves getting to a self-absorbed mindset that prevents us from having any sympathy for our own children or for spiritual children, others in our church or others around us who need us to care about what's going on in their lives. Because we're too busy. Do you know what your children need? Have you been listening to them? Or have you been doing this or this? Huh? What's that? Huh? What'd you say? Huh? Hey, just a minute. Can we be distracted, dads? You can't have sympathy if you're not listening to people. You can't. You can't have sympathy for them if you're just consumed with what you want. And the mental anguish of Paul for these people and their specific needs reflects that he had interest in knowing what they were doing and what was going on. And it wasn't just 10 or 12 people that were this for Paul. It could have well been hundreds of people in multiple cities. And as he hears of it, he is burdened by it. He cares about it. You know, I am thankful for the spirit of New Life Baptist Church, because in the short 2 years we've been here, and it's been just like that. It really has been quick. I've observed your care for people, and I've been encouraged by it again and again and again and again. So this isn't a message where I'm preaching, boy, if those people at New Life would just get a hold of this, it'd be great. No, you all do care for people, and I am encouraged by that. But are there more people that we're to care for? You see, Paul didn't stop in Corinth. He kept going. He kept caring. And sympathy doesn't stop with just, I've got 5 people I care about, or 3 people I care about, or 10 people I care about. Are there more people to care about here in Johnson County? Yeah, there are. How are we going to do that? How is Pastor Finney going to care for all those people? Or how is New Life Baptist Church going to care for all those people? Can I give you an answer to it? It's when we multiply ourselves. Fathers, your job is to multiply. I don't mean just have lots of kids. I mean multiply what you know of God to others. And you may not have any kids, or you may be a woman, and you can multiply yourself, spiritually speaking. We don't know that Paul had any children, but he had lots of spiritual sons. Timothy, Onesimus, the church in Corinth, and probably every other church in the world. I'd say that's a pretty rich dad, wouldn't you? A lot of cares, a lot of sympathy, a lot of care for them. They know he cares about them. And that is the exact opposite of the false teachers. The false teachers care nothing for those people themselves. They only care for themselves. What I can get from it, how I look. Dad, the greatest thing in the world is when your kids pass on to someone else what you teach them. Christian, the greatest thing in the world is when you pass on to others what you have received. When you pass on the gospel. When you pass on what it means to live in submission to Christ. When you live for others instead of self. That has an eternal impact. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You know, you can compel someone else to follow you as you follow Christ when they can see you have followed Christ. May your life be one that's showing the sympathy, the care for others and what they're going through. May it show the sacrifice that is demonstrated again and again of our Savior for our benefit. May they see that you are used by God. Was Jesus Christ an illustration for us of submission to the Father and being used by Him? Of course. That's how you're to live your days. I want to be used by the Father. I want to be used by Him to accomplish what He wants. If that means sacrifice, yes. If that means I have a care and sympathy for others, yes. And if you ask God to make that the reality of your day today and this week, you're going to start having people cross your path faster than you can imagine that are in need of that. Maybe of you proclaiming the gospel to them. Maybe of a Christian that's just a little bit discouraged that needs someone to say, hey, this is the right way. Or maybe a Christian who's leaning towards something that's not true for you to say, hey, that's error. Let me show you what's true because I love you. I care for you. You're going to have opportunity, Christians. And I need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of it. Father, I pray that you'll help us now as we take time to consider this today, to be humble. I pray for every dad here this morning that there would be great humility in our hearts about our responsibility. Help us not to be distracted or selfish dads. May we be dads that see the need of our children and pass on what matters greatly. the gospel and Christ-like living and example. And Father, for those that are here that know Christ as their Savior, but perhaps are not dads or men or past the time of their children, I pray that you would help us to see the opportunity for every one of us to be spiritual influences, that we can proclaim the gospel to a world that is in great darkness, that is in great need of the truth, that we can encourage other believers in the truth. God, if there's one here this morning that has not yet seen that they are in need of Christ and of the gospel, Lord, they're hearing about being born and being children. This morning, I pray that they would see that your desire is for people to accept your Son by faith as the answer to sin's problem. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to you